Today on Hardwired.
Now here's the model, here's the pattern. It says that Jesus, quote, appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now there's the divine order. God calls us to be with him and then he sends us out to minister for him.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message. But you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so very much for making us a part of your day. Well, we're in our Bible Blockbuster series, and this is the fifth message in this series. It's been a great series, a lot of great feedback. And today we're going to talk about apprenticeship, or the ultimate apprentice, that is Elisha. He's at least the ultimate Old Testament apprentice. Elisha was Elijah's servant. So many things that we can learn about how to serve another and how promotion comes not from the east and not from the west, but it comes from above. So let's go right to this powerful message from our Bible Blockbuster series on Elisha the Apprentice.
How many of you know that when you got saved, you got called to discipleship? We didn't just get a ticket to fly when Jesus comes back for us, but Jesus said, I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest for your souls. Now, the yoke is what you put on an animal. It's what you put on an animal who was going to be subservient to a leader, to a guide. The yoke means you're no longer your own. The yoke means that you're going to be guided. You're going to be led. Now, here's what the devil will do. He drives you. He pushes you. He's a hard taskmaster. But Jesus guides you, leads you. When we got saved, it wasn't just for heaven, but it was that we would follow him now, that we would allow him to guide our life now. And we're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. So we are called not only to heaven, but to apprenticeship, to discipleship. We have been called to submit to him and follow him. And I'm going to look today at this whole idea of apprenticeship because it is a Western Christianity myth that you can get saved and later make him your Lord. The Bible doesn't recognize any kind of Christianity where somebody gets saved and he is not immediately also your Lord. You don't make him Lord. You just realize who he is and let him be who he is. He's already Lord. Nobody makes him Lord. Now, Elisha following Elijah is an Old Testament picture of New Testament realities, the reality of discipleship and apprenticeship. Now, keep in mind that Jesus, just like Elijah, apprenticed Elisha, as we're going to see in a moment. Jesus apprenticed his disciples before ever sending them out to touch the world. Now, here's the model. Here's the pattern. It says that Jesus, quote, appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now there's the divine order. God calls us to be with him and then he sends us out to minister for him. See, you cannot give what you do not have, and you get anything worth giving from him, because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of change. So we need to spend time with him, because as you spend time with him, he begins to impart to you things that other people are going to need. So he called them to be with him. What for? For apprenticeship, for discipleship. That's the divine order. Come on, disciple. Come on, Simon Peter. Come on, John. Come on, James. I want you to be with me for 3.5 years. You're going to see what I do, and you're going to hear everything I've got to say. I'm going to teach you and lead you and guide you and open your eyes so that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I send you out into the world, you've got something to give. Before they could preach, they must be with him in apprenticeship. Now, it's the same way with Elisha, a type of disciple, and Elijah, a type of Christ. Now, when I look at how Elisha was trained by Elijah, I see Old Testament pictures of New Testament reality. First, here's what Elisha did. His apprenticeship began with total, complete surrender. He surrendered completely to this man, Elijah, followed him without question. When Elijah's mantle touched Elisha, destiny leaped into his spirit because he knew this is the mighty man of God. There's not another one like him. This is the man of God for the hour, and he has called me, he has touched me, he has laid his hand upon, he threw his mantle on me. And so immediately he realized, I'm called to something way bigger than what I'm doing today. There is a high calling on my life. And church, can I tell you, there is a high calling on your life. Now, God's not necessarily going to call you out of what you do, but there is a gift in you, there is a calling on you, and there is a destiny. And as Elijah threw his mantle, his coat onto Elisha, Jesus threw his mantle on us when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. That was the mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it fell upon the church. When the mantle fell upon Elisha, it was Elijah saying, you're going to walk where I walked, you're going to know the God I know, and you're going to do the things I did. And Jesus said to you and me, he said, the things that I do, you shall also do, and greater than these, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. And then he said, but don't you go do any of it until the mantle falls. And the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost and sat like tongues of fire over each one of their heads. And that was the mantle, the call to do the things that Jesus did. Can you say with me, I'm called? Now say it like you mean it. I'm called. Say with me, I'm gifted.
I'm gifted.
Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're gifted. If you're a believer, the mantle has fallen upon you. How many of you can say the Holy Spirit has fallen onto my life? The Holy Spirit has been given to me. You've got the mantle of the modern day Elijah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is with the mantle that he struck the river and it parted in half. The mantle was his authority. It was his picture of authority, his symbol of authority. Moses held forth a rod and divided the sea. But Elijah held forth a mantle and divided the river. So the mantle being thrown upon Elisha was a clear call to the prophetic ministry. Elisha immediately demonstrated his desire to obey and carry this mantle because it says he went quickly to his house and slaughtered his oxen and broke up his plow and made a fire and offered up the oxen to the Lord as a sacrifice. And I want you to know, church, the sacrifice was more than just burning the oxen and the plow. That oxen and plow were his way of making a living. It was his way of feeding himself and his family. That oxen and plow were his job and they were his identity. It was Elisha's way of saying, I'm burning every bridge. I am leaving my past and I'm burning the bridges so that I cannot go back. True Christianity is when you don't even think about going back to Egypt from whence you have come. Egypt is a type of the world. And I got to break it to you today that the Lord Jesus has burned every bridge back to Egypt. We can't go back. And if you try to go back, you will find there's nothing there for you but dry sand sifting through disappointed fingers. You will find nothing in that world from whence you came. There's nothing there. When the Red Sea closed again over Pharaoh's army and drowned Pharaoh's army, it was God saying to the children of Israel who had crossed over, you can't go back to Egypt. The bridge is burned. All that's left for you is forward to the promised land, and all that is left for you and me is forward to the promised land. The call to follow Jesus requires the same level of surrender. The Bible says that Jesus, listen carefully, quote, he summoned the crowd with his disciples, and here's what he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, If anybody wants to follow me, he must do three things. He must deny himself. He must take up his cross. And he must follow me. The first two are necessary to being able to do the third. You cannot follow Jesus unless you deny yourself and take up the cross. Because guess what'll stop you from following Jesus? Yourself, your own will, your own desires. And so Jesus said, you're going to have to come to me like Elisha did in total surrender. And you're going to have to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I yield myself to you. I'm not going to let my own wishes, my own desires, my own self. You see, your greatest enemy is not the devil, it's yourself. Because if yourself is crucified, the devil's got nothing to work with. Whoever wishes to save his life, Jesus said, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I have a prophetic word for you today, church. There are some shaking times coming to this country. Some hard times are coming to this country. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sifted. And those who have gone on with him in discipleship and apprenticeship and learned to deny themselves and crucify their flesh and pick up that cross and follow him are going to be the ones that shine and, Lord willing, bring fresh revival to this land. But those who have been on the outside looking in, just playing church and playing religion, but not really walking with him on a daily basis and seeking his face, are going to be shaken and rattled and rolled and knocked out of the saddle. I don't know about you, but I want to stay steady and strong and influential and powerful and shining and salty in tough times. Total surrender is what Jesus taught. Too many Christians don't get that. There's carnal Christians and there's spiritual Christians. Carnal Christians live like the world and go to church on Sunday. Spiritual Christians go to church every day of the week. Not literally, but in their hearts. They seek the Lord every day. Total surrender. We know the disciples gave up their livelihood like Elisha did to follow Jesus. Peter gave up his fishing business and Matthew his tax collector position. One day, Peter said to Jesus, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Total surrender. Does God have you? Does he have your heart? Does he have all of you? Is there anything you're choosing over him? I would encourage you today, lay it down.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
The Bible says that we should lay aside every weight, put down every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Lay it down. Don't let anything, anyone, any place, anything keep you from ultimately, totally surrendering to Jesus Christ. Listen, it's in total surrender that you really experience the power of Christianity. Here's what God is saying to you and to me. I'll give all of me when you give me all of you. I'll give you all of me when you give me all of you. You're really not going to know the power of the gospel until you have totally, completely surrendered. There can be no apprenticeship without total surrender. So Elisha completely surrendered, left everything, and followed Elijah. And the next thing I see in Elisha's apprenticeship is total servanthood. The Bible says Elisha got up and followed Elijah and served him. On another occasion, King Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a man who speaks for God here? Is there nobody we can ask to learn what the Lord would have us to do? We're looking for somebody with the word of the Lord. And one of the servants of the king answered, quote, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is among us. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. Elisha was known for how he had served Elijah. Elijah poured water on his hands. That's a picture of servanthood. You know, I learned a long time ago, the way up in God's kingdom is down. If you want to be promoted, you serve. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. See, some people say, I'm too good to serve. That is to do little piddly squat stuff. But here's what happened with Elisha. Elisha just began to do whatever Elijah needed him to. He ran errands. He did this, he did that, he did the other. Whatever Elijah needed, he did it. He served, he waited on him. He took care of the menial things, the inconsequential things, the things where nobody was there to say, wow, you did a great job. He wasn't in the limelight, he was in the shadows. But he served with joy. And I'm telling you, the spirit of Jesus is to serve. We're big on servanthood here. We believe that every Christian has been given a gift, divinely and sovereignly by the Holy Ghost who lives within you. And when he gave you that gift, he said, now with it, the Bible says, go serve one another. Do you know that servanthood is the way you discover what God has really called you to do? When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus in total surrender, I got involved in a Bible study group. And the leader of that group picked me to do the menial things, just the little go run errands things, and would you take care of this? And even sometimes, would you string my guitar? And I would string his guitar for him, and yes, I do play guitar. I might get up here with it sometime, just so you'll know. I'm not saying in a solo. No solos coming from me. I'll be in the shadows just plucking. But here, I did the little things that whatever he needed me to do. And while I was serving in this house, serving in this ministry, just doing whatever the man of God needed me to do, it was there that God revealed to me my call to preach and to teach. And it was there that an anointing came upon me and a mantle came upon me to teach and to preach. Because the way up in God's kingdom is down. In the world, it is, if you want to get to the top, you scratch, you claw, you fight, you push, you lie, you deceive. You step on people, but in the kingdom of God, if you want to be promoted, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And don't consider anything too menial for you. Do it because Jesus gave us an example that we would serve one another. It says that Jesus washed the disciples' feet one day with water in a towel and said to them, I'm your teacher and Lord. I have washed your feet. You should wash each other's feet also. He was instituting and initiating in his followers the principle of servanthood. You all know where the Holy Ghost dwells? He dwells in the presence of servanthood. Total servanthood. Not only is what Elisha did, but watch this. Servanthood gave him a ringside seat to the life and ministry of the greatest man of God alive on earth in that day. Because he was serving him and doing all the errands for him and just there to take care of him. It provided the open door for him to learn the ropes of prophetic ministry. He got to see it like nobody else got to see it. He was there with him when he called fire down out of heaven and it consumed the sacrifice. He was there when this mighty man of God parted the water. He was there when he brought the word of the Lord in such a powerful way that people would be slain listening to him. The prophet of fire, Elijah, was called. And Elisha, by serving, got a ringside seat. He got right in there in the middle of it. The more he watched, something began to happen to him. The more he watched, the more the desire grew to have a double portion of all that Elijah had done. Elijah performed 7 great miracles in his life. And Elisha said, look what this man does. Look how people are blessed by him. Look at how he has almost single-handedly wiped Baalism out of Israel. Look at how he's brought a whole nation to repentance. His life is so incredible. I want to be just like him, but something is moving in me. I'm experiencing the faith to believe that God will give me double what he did. He wanted to be just like the one he was following. And you know what happens when you start following Jesus in daily discipleship, daily apprenticeship? That means you get up and you get a Bible and you go somewhere and you close the door and you take the phone off the hook and you close People Magazine and you open up that Bible. Don't turn on Good Morning America. It will not lead you into the presence of the Lord. Open up Good Morning Lord. Try Good Morning Lord instead of Good Morning America. Good morning, Lord. I'm here to hear from you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to learn of you, to take your yoke upon me. Oh, Lord, speak to me today. Give me a word today. Settle me today. Strengthen my faith today. Help me to know you better today than I knew you yesterday. I want to grow. Do it, Lord, today and every day. I'm after you. I'm in hot pursuit of you. You are my all in all. You're my first and you're my last. You're the alpha of my life. And as we learn to seek Jesus and spend time with Jesus, same thing that happened with Elisha following Elijah will happen with you and me. We'll want to be more like him and more like him, and we will become more like him because that's how you abide in the vine. If you want to look like what the vine is producing, then abide in the vine. Spend time with him. And as we do, we learn how to walk with God, how to love people, how to defeat the devil, how to walk in purity, how to exercise kingdom power. In our apprenticeship under Jesus, we ought to be able to sit here next year at this very same time and say, I'm so much further along than I was. I'm not on cruise control in my spiritual walk. I am in overdrive. I'm seeking the Lord with all of my heart because the time is short. Jesus is at the door. We don't have long to get done what needs to be done. It's time for every believer to stand up and to speak up and to seek his face and get so much Jesus that you can't keep it in and go out there and just let it spill into the highways and the hedges because they need what we've got in these four walls and it shouldn't stay here. You'll never really learn his ways sitting in the bleachers with one foot in the world and one in the kingdom, cheering on those that are totally committed while you only watch. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Elisha totally surrendered and he practiced total servanthood. And then finally, and this is what I want to really focus on today, he practiced total perseverance, total surrender, total servanthood, and total perseverance. What's perseverance? It's when you keep on keeping on when you don't feel like it. Total perseverance is that steel that is in your spirit where you say, if the sun is shining or not, I'm still moving on with God. If things are going my way or not, I don't pick up my marbles and go home. I get stronger. I seek him longer. I move tighter into him. If times get tough, I get tougher because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So many people start well and end badly in their walk of discipleship. When the going gets tough, they opt for the easier life and they drop out. They don't practice the kind of perseverance that carries them into God's best. As soon as there's a little bit of persecution or whatever, and the heat of difficulty shines down on them and begins to cook them a little bit. They say, I didn't bargain on this. I believe I'll just step back a little bit and put the world first. Don't do it. Stay with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Put him first. The Bible says that Elisha had a dream. His dream was God's dream for him. He didn't just come up with something. His dream was the double portion. God put that in his heart. I would venture to say that the vast majority of people in this room have a dream. You have a dream of something God put in your heart. And you thought you were going to get there the next week. And now weeks have turned into months, and months have stretched into years. And you're being tempted to faint. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap your dream if you do not faint. You will reap if you don't give up. You will reap if you keep on persevering. I want to talk to you, church, about perseverance, because if there was ever a day the church is going to have to persevere, it is now. But perseverance is a good thing. Elisha said, I want a double portion, Elijah, of what you've got. And even Elijah said, you've asked for a hard thing. But Elisha was determined. He said, God's given me a dream. It's burning in my heart. He's given me a dream, and I'm living for it, and I'm dying for it, and I'm pursuing Elijah for it.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.